Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for our modern age and called natural time, because our year of uneven month lengths is by comparison really artificial. I'm not here to lead a revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light. And I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I'm passionate, I'm transparent, I'm emotionally available, and sometimes volatile. That's because I'm a blue overtone storm. And you can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. I am speaking from the Gregorian date of May 22nd, 2019, and preferably on the Zulkin, we call it Red Magnetic Moon. And it is the beginning of the Red Moon Wave Spell. So it's a new 13-day cycle that begins today. And yesterday we concluded the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, and that is a very precious kind of switchover from Yellow Warrior to Red Moon. Is deeply from masculine to feminine energy, and it's a real quick turn. I could feel it today in this Red Moon moment. It's much slower and more tidal. I'll talk about all those attributes soon. But just to recall that the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell was a time of bearing a shield, of being martially prepared for conflict, all the training that goes on for a readiness to be in battle and to be protective of the rest of the tribe, those who need our protection. When we are warriors, we're going to go aggressively against any kind of attacker and keep others safe through our virility, our fearlessness. We're going to be pretty unfeeling for that time. We're going to be in thoughts and actions and directing ourselves through any kind of anxiety quickly. You're going to be sublimating a lot of fear and charging forward in the presence of mind to make sure that people stay alive and unharmed. So we've had this really inner masculine drama unfolding for 13 days, and I'm hoping that if you had an experience in that wave spell, it was of overcoming fear to such a degree or being propelled forward practically fearlessly that you took something on that is usually way out of range and come away victorious in the sense of meeting a challenge that seemed really daunting and persevering through it. It's called the good fight. The Yellow Warrior time in my mind, because we're not going to go on a rampage and slaughter a bunch of people in a sociopathological way. We're going to be acting in integrity and trying to keep things together using physical presence and force if necessary. And we're going to be unstoppable in some way because we've trained and prepared for this. And so again, reflectively, we've had a moment where we overcame something that was like being cloaked in darkness or endangered in our own lives personally, maybe not only our own lives, but something focal for us where we were heroic. I had that experience, so I'm speaking for myself, which is the nature of a podcast, hoping you can relate. But we're going to turn now to some really strongly feminine archetypal energy. And I never mean to delineate that we're going from like men to women. It's not that. It's inner masculine impulses to inner feminine impulses. And the assumption is we all have both to some degree. So we got to really practice that masculine directive, forceful nature. And now we're going more inward and definitely softening in the Red Moon time. So Red Moon is feminine and vulnerable. It's a feeling state. Like I said, I don't think that warriors are encouraged to feel things. In fact, shut down feelings is best. Be really clear thinking without all those feelings throwing us off balance. Just focal. And then the actions are sharp as well. Direct. There isn't like vacillation. You just go forward, penetrate, strike. And so now we're going to have a lot less of that fixation because we're going to be in fluidity and a celebration of water. There are some primary attributes of Red Moon that are described by natural time, the movement. You know, we have some direct teachings that we can follow. And the words that Jose Arguelles gave for Red Moon are to purify, like the verb, the action to purify, universal water. So not just water, but water everywhere. So we're not just thinking about water like, oh, water in the ocean, water in the rivers. Not even just rain and ice. We're not only limited to the element of water. We're thinking about how we are bodies of water, that water is everywhere and essentially in human beings. We're so deeply liquid. That's what we're being reminded of at this time. And then the essence of this red moon is flow. And I like that a lot because I think that is the essence of the red moon time and the red moon teaching is how to go with the flow, how to be in the flow, how to find the flow, how to follow the flow and to become fluid rather than, you know, mechanical, rather than stopping and starting, hemming and hawing in our life, how to find a way that we can enter a liquid state of streaming, which is really topical. I'll get to that later, how we are... We may move at the speed of light in a technological age, but we use a lot of the verbiage of water, and there is so much refracted light that it kind of has a flow, and I want to discuss that a little farther along. So we've been behind the warrior shield, and now we're finding out all of what was soft and vulnerable on the other side of that, and yet we are both the warrior, and we're both the watery nature that's being protected. It's interesting that while water is represented by Red Moon, that is the archetype that fixates on water, it is not called like Red Water. It's called Red Moon because it is water and the influence that the moon has upon it. So my theory is that emotions are essentially the motion behind an idea before it can become physicalized in an action. So in order for things to transmute from like, oh, I've just thought of this and doing it or accomplishing it, we are best informed by having some feelings around it, having an empathy quotient, like, okay, I have this thought. Is this what I want to do? Is this the best thing to do? And you start to feel into that responsively. And then you take an action. And it's just strong for me that if we didn't have feelings, we would just be so automated. And so this is the time of feeling, and it's connected to the moon because the moon is this planetary influence on us. We see it in the tides and the oceans most obviously. Hopefully we do see that. We sense it. When the moon is full, everything is very extreme down at the beach. And when the moon is new or empty in the sky, invisible to us in shadow, things are very extreme at the beach. And then when it's, you know, a half moon in the sky, either way, waxing or waning, things have more equilibrium and balance. And we cycle through this. We cycle through this over and over. And so much of our feeling state, meaning how we are responding physically to our environment and what's influencing our thoughts into actions, is under the direction, the guidance, and the astronomical informing of the moon. So Red Moon is the reminder that water will flow with gravity to the ocean. Water seeks its balance. Water evaporates and then it becomes rain and falls back to earth. It cycles. But when there is a body of water, and I'm a body of water, as I said, we are going to feel the moon pulling at us. And I think it informs how we act through our feelings in the world. So I always just spew a lot of information about each tribe, i.e. each archetype that we pass through. And that was what came up for me to tell you. But you have 13 days to self-explore this. You can experience Red Moon and what it is through what unfolds in this wave spell. And I'll be referring to it. And it's a really significant wave spell. It's going to be a microcosm of the overlying year, the 13 moon year, which began on July 26th of 2018. It always begins on July 26th, the Mayan year, the natural time year. It was named, this past year is named for Red Moon. It's called Red Cosmic Moon this entire year. And that is because July 26th exists also on the Zolkin. And we name the 13 moon year for the Zolkin day that it originates from. That's always true. And so Red Cosmic Moon and the concept of the Red Moon has been in play for this entire year, which is coming to a conclusion pretty soon. And furthermore, if you can grok this, we're also in a 13-year wave spell that is on the topic of Red Moon. So this is the 13th year of 13, and it's almost over. So these are grand gestures of change upon us. Fairly soon, we'll begin a new 13-year wave spell. We will on July 26th, and I'll be talking it up. Right now, you can just feel the layering that's going on today. I mean, today is a four-level red moon moment. It's a red moon day in the red moon wave spell, and a red moon year in a red moon 13-year wave spell. It doesn't actually get deeper than that for red moon. So I think it's fun for each of us to kind of go backwards in time and reflect during this wave spell or during this podcast or, you know, either length in between, what's been going on this whole year since July 26th for you. I think it's going to be played out like a little tiny encapsulated video for us in this wave spell of 13 days. We'll feel the overriding 13 moon wave spell that's been in red moon. And then larger than that, you can go back to where you were on July 26, 2006, which was a red magnetic moon day and started this 13-year wave spell. There's been a lot of cultural change. I'll just touch upon a few things. Like I said earlier, 13 years ago, per my memory, I was living much more remotely, but we didn't have internet at home. And we didn't have cell phones in our family. You probably did. We didn't. I didn't have a laptop. I think I had some kind of desk computer. But, you know, it just was so much more old-timey. And so that's all I want to say. Everyone else can really evaluate what's changed. But in 13 years, we've emerged as a social media internet-based streaming culture, society, a world culture, sharing that modality. And I've been trying to think in preparation for pitching this podcast, like, well, what what does that have to do with water? What does that have to do with the moon? What does that have to do with feminine flow? And, you know, another piece that I'm only going to talk sparingly here about, because I want people to not have to get into like discomfort about the female body cycles. But Red Moon is so much about menstruation, both, you know, in the lyrical name Red Moon, but also just a female body, which houses a whole creation center for life, also has a lot of feeling states that are influenced in the moon cycle within her. And that there's, you know, menstrual means moon in origin, in word origin. So originally, indigenous time wasn't tracked by the moon phases as much as the way women's menstruation was a calendar for a tribe. So that's a big part of the red moon moment. And I'm not sure how the empowerment of using women's bodies to hold sacred counts of time correlates to what's blown up in the world in terms of technology and like this new authoritarian relapse that we're having. So more will be revealed there, But it is fun to think about 13-year cycles, and it's fun to come to the ends of them and begin new ones. We'll do that together. I want to turn to kind of the school lesson part of this podcast. I am a former school teacher, and it always really makes sense to me intellectually to kind of have like, and now today's lesson, something you might have to memorize because it's important to know this information as we move forward. I want to give a more expansive picture of why the 13 moon year starts on July 26th and why it is named for the day of the Zolkin and how that creates 13-year cycles. So very concisely, and I'm not an expert on astronomy, I'm not an expert on deep Mayan history, and I also learn things and then I hold on to that information, but I can't like give a broader definition of anything. I've just learned the soundbite. One of the soundbites that I learned was that when Sirius, the dog star, a giant star in the sky at night, rises at dawn with the sun, that is so auspicious because it's the meeting of the day sun with the night sun. They rise together. That's like the greatest duo of empowerment and illumination that could be beheld. That becomes the celebration of a new year. So when Sirius rose with the sun at dawn, that was July 26th. It was reliable. It was annual. And the other soundbite I have is that the Egyptians also celebrated that as their new year on the other side of the world. And then it's going to get really sketchy. Like, I'm not sure that Sirius rises on July 26th anymore. I don't really know. Astronomy changes over millennia, I think. So, I mean, I can't prove that part of it. I'm just talking about researched origination stories. That's why the Mayan year begins then. It's really profound that it begins in the summer instead of the scarcity of winter, if we're talking about the Northern Hemisphere, of course. It's beautiful that we begin the year in the height of abundance and light, and then we journey into the darkness and scarcity of winter, and then we come through the spring, and we kind of have this victory of being out of the shadows and the cold, return to light, and then the year closes again in brilliant abundance. The splendor of summer. And that matters a lot more in an ancient agrarian society where, you know, everything is wonderful when you have a lot and you can't really store it or save it or ship it in from somewhere else. So it's very pure. And then the reason that there's a unification of the two calendars on that day and we give a name for the year from the Zolkin is because this experience of natural time is all about the harmonization of two calendars. It would be interesting to just follow a 13 moon year and it starts July 26th, and instead of 12 months of weird lengths, we have 13 months of 28 days each, and we just live in harmony with that. And it's different, and it's feminine and menstrual, and it's the moon, and all of that feels really pure. And then we could just study the Zolkin. We could have 260-day years, we could call them, and every day is celebrated with these amazing archetypal images, and we still feel the 13-day wave spells, and we just forget about moon cycles. And maybe you want to take the Zolkin and have your Gregorian year that starts on January 1st with its 12 months, and that's enough. But what I talk about here, what I practice, and what natural time is defined to be is the intersection of the two. And really the selling point is that your mind gets really expansive. I'm all about brain exercise as a way to keep us really agile, keep us on fire. You know, it's kind of like when you had math homework. For me, it was a break from language arts homework because language arts is so amorphous and essays can be rewritten in so many forms and drafts, and it was exhausting. If you're perfectionistic, it could just go on endlessly. But then math, once you got the answer to the problem, that was done. And I really use Mayan mathematics in my spiritual walk to have that kind of satisfaction. So I love the math of 13 28-day months being 364 days and that it's magical that you can actually have 13 even length months in a year and get away from all of the disharmony and weirdness of 31 and 30 and 28. So that's one of my favorite math solutions of natural time. And then in terms of the intersection, I just really love that we have, if we name the beginning of the year for the Dzogchen day, we notice just in the mathematics, I can't give you the math formula for this, but I can just tell you how it works by talking about it. So let's go backwards. Last July 26th, the beginning of this year, was red cosmic moon, because of that day in the Dzogchen was red cosmic moon. And the year prior, on July 26th of 2017, that day was yellow crystal seed on the Dzogchen. And if you're getting your sea legs for the different tones or stages of 13 that we count here, you'll know that cosmic is the 13th day or stage of a wave spell, and crystal is the 12th. So this year is the 13th, the year before was the 12th, and true to that example, July 26th of 16 was blue spectral storm, the 11th day of the wave spell. So that's just the math makes it really sort of magically nice that July 26 moves through wave spell stages. Just what arises in the Dzogchen each year is one stage further. And that's how we can see a progressive wave spell over 13 years. The other thing is that any day in the 13 moon calendar or the Gregorian calendar, any day of our year, our 365 day year, through these cycles of the Dzogchen can only be one of four of the archetypes of the tribes they're called, such as red moon, such as yellow seed, such as blue storm. So July 26 is only ever red moon, white wizard, blue storm, or yellow seed. It's never a white dog day on July 26th. But if you were born on a white dog day, then your day, your birthday each year is going to move through these four tribes or archetypes. You're going to be red serpent or white dog or blue eagle or yellow sun. And so that's called your earth family. And that kind of concludes the lesson portion of the podcast. You now know that we're moving through 13-year wave spells because of the intersection with the Dzogchen, and you can know that we're starting a new 13-year wave spell on July 26, 2019, and that our years are called either red moon, white wizard, blue storm, or yellow seed. And in fact, our next new year will be white magnetic wizard, starting a 13-year wave spell celebrating white wizard. And we're going to learn a ton more about it when we get there. So let me tell you about the next few days between podcasts, astrology for the masses. I think you get the red moon vibe, but tomorrow, which is going to be called Thursday and also May 23rd, is white lunar dog. And you're going to start to understand if you don't already have this in mind, that we have the magnetic day is the first day of 13. The second day is called lunar. Magnetic day is pictured as a one dot. It's like a really densely packed seed. It's magnetic because we attract our purpose to us. And then on the lunar day, that one dot splits into two dots. This is the Mayan numeric system, one dot and then two dots. And it's really just the cleaving of this one ball of intense preparedness for the whole wave spell into two. And we see within this splitting the dichotomy. Like, I have a purpose. That's what we feel on the first day. On the second day, we get to delineate, like, okay, this is my purpose. It's pretty much like my strength. This is the part of my purpose over here, on the other hand, that is my challenge. It is what I am going to be facing that is not yet my strength. But by, as they say, overcoming this challenge, it's going to become part of me as a strength by the end of the wave spell. So the lunar day is informative. It's called identifying our challenge. We already know that we have a challenge on the magnetic day because it's in that one dot. But on the second day, the lunar day, we feel it identified. It makes itself more apparent because it's kind of separated like the egg yolk from the white. Like, okay, I see these things coexist, but they are separate. And our challenge in the red moon wave spell is identified as white dog. White lunar dog is the second day, and the challenge is something to do with love, the loyalty of white dog. So on Thursday, you're going to be identifying challenge, feeling challenge. Identifying doesn't mean you just look at it. It might feel like it's thick on you, or it can feel less entrenched. It's starting to be like knowledge is power, one of my favorite phrases. Once you're aware of something and you know it, it's less chaotic in your brain, less scrambled, and you can order it, and then it becomes easier. I think that's just part of the human condition. On Friday, May 24th, we have Blue Electric Monkey. And monkey is like a little evolutionary step from dog. Dog is a mammalian heart. It's a four-legged creature. We all pretty much have a sense of how wonderful dogs are. I love dogs. We act like dogs on a white dog day. We really act like dogs if we're white dog people. And then blue monkey is, you know, there's more intellectual agility. Monkeys walk around on their hind legs. They have really dexterous fingers. It's, of course, right before human. So we're going to be doing more shenanigans on a monkey day. And that's really part of its identification as being a playful day, kind of silly. Still some sweetness, in a sense. It's really a day of childlike behavior. And then Saturday is yellow self-existing human. And so I want you to hear that, especially if you're getting in here, you know, the beginning of the learning curve. It goes white dog, blue monkey, yellow human. Always those three are in a row. And that's evolution, as I indicated. We start with the first warm-blooded animal of the Dzogchen. Earlier we have the crocodile called the red dragon, and we also have red serpent. But white dog is this first moment of recognition, like warm-blooded, heart-pumping. And white dog becomes a little more evolved in blue monkey. And then yellow human, it's not like children playing anymore. It's a lot more serious to be a human than a primate. I know that you know this. And so we have that experience. Every time we move through the 20-day signs, we relive evolution. And we're right in a run of that now. The thing that I always want to do then here to close things out is to answer the question, why are things hard? In case they are, because that matters to me more than anything else, that if something feels overwhelming, destabilizing, haunting, agonizing, that really interests me. I'm a blue storm, and I'm attracted to places where there's like an overcast layer that keeps people from the light. I want to clear it. I want to be really dynamic, powerful, volatile, and be of service so that you can see the sun again. And so this is my diagnosis on why things might be hard, in case that makes you have more illumination. You burn the shadows off by having an understanding of what they are. The first thing is that we're still in the spectral moon. Of the 13 moon year, we have for the last 3 weeks been in the spectral moon of the wave breaking. And please refer to the last podcast if you want a deep talk about what the spectral tone is. But, you know, it's accumulative sometimes that we get exhausted by being beaten down in a wave that's breaking. A lot of it's liberation because we're in flight. If you think of a wave cresting and then dumping over, you're kind of launched for a while. And if you like to fly or feel like you're not really tethered to the earth at all, that's really pleasant. It's exhilarating. But then we have to eventually, you know, touch back down. And that's what's coming, kind of the grounding week of the spectral moon. So like I said, if you love to fly, that's coming to conclusion. if you're just tired of getting churned around, then it could be wearing you down. You want to know which end is up and have this part calm down and past. So hold on. It is only 7 days further. If you're conscious, you'll start to feel that it is settling. And then obviously, if you don't like water or women, no, just kidding. If you don't want to feel your feelings and you don't want to have much access to the feminine archetypal orientation, and you don't like things that move slower than light, and if you are just uncomfortable with water for whatever reason, I mean, some people are really earthy, some people are really airy, and it's not appealing. If you're a yellow warrior, I don't know that you like being in red moon. We'll find out. But like I said, they're very, very different. We pivot very strongly in this time. I also think beginnings of wave spells are intense and disorienting, and we're going to really be able to experiment with that when we start our new 13-year wave spell, where we have a couple of years where we're just getting oriented to the shape of the wave and where it wants to take us. So it gets a little crunchy in the magnetic lunar days. I hope by the electric day, which is an idea that divinity comes and gives us some kind of relief from being polarized. The lunar day, we're seeing things in kind of black and white, but on the electric day, the third day, we can feel this cloaking of the trinity, of the holy presence that kind of calms things down. We'll see if that comes for you on Friday. And then, not to trick you and say, I'm going to tell you why it's hard, and then say, well, I can't really tell you why it's hard unless I know your personal astrology. I do want to point out that sometimes we just go through really hard passages because it is our opposite time, our challenge time, because it reminds us of our mom. You know, like truly, the resonance of a time passage can resound like someone we know who may have a charged influence on us in the past or the present. It's almost an endless loop. That's why I keep my mind really sharp with Mayan math, because my mind wants to be imagining life in a kind of magical realm all the time. And I do look each day to see, like, well, I'm feeling kind of uncomfortable. What might it be? And I can find these associations. You know, I'm definitely willing to do a reading for you, but I also just want to invite you to keep tuning in, because you will start to understand that it's your challenge time, or what your mother's Mayan birthday is, and if she happens to be a red moon, and then you'll be able to glean these parallels yourself. And so in summation, because I think it answers the question of like, why is it a little hard? And describes what we're in right now. I just want to repeat, we're in a red moon day that will continue through this 13-day wave spell of red moon in a red moon year, in the last stages of a red moon 13-year wave spell. I don't know if that's hard. I just know it's deep. I know it's really deep. And I am inviting you to let that depth inform some parts of your days. Either go find a body of water or just feel how you are one. And we'll keep talking about it next podcast, see what else is arising. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in love.